to rent the building.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, man. Good morning. Great to be here. Got my Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt on today. Just kind of feeling that way, if you know what I'm talking about. Trying to be a bearer of truth, a speaker of truth. You know, Jesus Christ is truth. We could just pause right there, couldn't we? Anytime you speak the truth, you're representing Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is truth. More than God is love, Jesus is truth. We are most Christ-like when we speak the truth. And for someone to say to you, Coach Dave, or, well, they wouldn't say Coach Dave to you, but they say, Coach, speak truth in love. Folks, truth is love. We'll say it again. Truth is love. God is love. Christ is truth. You cannot speak truth to someone that is not loving. Now wait, you can do it in a non-loving manner. The way you present it may not be loving. But for us to continue to not speak the truth because we think we are loving people by lying to them, it's a total, total, complete deception. It's a deception. And then we'll say it again on our website right now. Folks, if you take the vaccine, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. If you've already taken the vaccine, I pray that God intervenes. But there, you go to Coach Dave. Like, pull that up right now, Spencer. You folks, listen. It's like talking to. I don't even know how to explain it to you. What it's like talking to people, trying to get them not to take the vaccination. Spencer, it's under videos, I think, brother. If you guys have not watched that Sherry Tenpenny video yet, by the way, we're having her on here next week. It's right there, right in the middle. If you have not watched that video, I don't even know what to tell you, folks. I don't even know what to tell you. And if you've already taken it, pray that Holy Spirit intervenes. And there's another video. I spoke about it yesterday. Go back there, Spence, if you can. Another video. That the guy in the suit, where is he? Right there. Another one. These guys are virologists telling you, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. I'm not going to camp on the vaccines. I'm just delivering my own soul. Okay, I'm telling you, don't take that vaccine. Don't do that. And I don't know if I've ever done this or not. I think I have a two-part show today. In other words, I don't know if I'm going to get it done today. It may bleed over in tomorrow because I was really, really impacted. I was impacted by a couple things this weekend, and I'll get to it here in just a second. Okay, now listen, the Russ Dizdar, go to the homepage. The Russ Dizdar page is up and running. And I want to really tip my hat four times to Jared, who really did yeoman's work last night to get it up. Right, so right there on our homepage, Expelling the Darkness. If you go to our homepage and you click on that for me, Spence, Expelling the Darkness, click on it, boom, and there it is. Donate for tickets here. We call our tickets a donation rather than buying a ticket. Donate for tickets. You click on that and you can do it. Boom, shows you how to do it. Now, one thing we have to get updated on here that we don't have updated is hotels. We have a hotel where you get a reduced rate, and we just don't have that up there yet, okay? But we'll have that up there by the later on today, hopefully. And I just said to the people who are listening in the queue before we went on the air, I got about 25 or 30 rooms in it, like a dorm situation, not bunk beds, but single beds. I have about 25, maybe 30 of those available at $25 a night, $50. You know, hotel's going to be about 100. So if you stay two nights, it's going to be 200. You could stay both nights for $50, but you're going to sleep beside somebody, and it's a dorm situation. But if that's an issue, something I'd like to be able to do and get a hold of me and let me know that. Number two thing, I think Mike Blake's out of the hospital, although I tried to communicate with him a couple of times yesterday and didn't really get a connection. But it was my understanding that he was released by the surgeon and he's just waiting for the hospital releasing. So, Mike, if you're out there and you're listening or whatever, thumbs up to you, brother. God bless. He had been through it, man. I'm sure he's got some recovery ahead of him as well. Okay, cool. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I got the I brought David Arthur in here this morning because I want David to share. I watched his show yesterday. Don't always get a chance to do it. Sorry, I'm looking at something over here on my monitor. It really lit something inside me that I want to be able to talk to you about here. Hey, Coach, do you still get – yes, the first 100 people who sign up get Russ Dizdar's free 400-page Expelling the Darkness book. 400 pages. It's free.
His book.
That's his book. His book, free. And then the second thing that you get free is you get 30 days of streaming video. In other words, you can go home and watch it, and you can share it with others. So for $100, you get the book and free streaming, and you get to come here. Now, we also doing just streaming. $30, you can stay where you are and stream it and watch it. We have a lot of expenses. Russ is bringing in like 14 or 15 people on his team. So we got housing expenses and food expenses and stuff. So it's going to be good. Free book. Yes, you get the free book, all that, man. Amen, amen, amen. So where was I? Anybody have anything they wanted to say before I get going? Anything for the good of the group? Go ahead.
Coach, I have said, if anybody, my wife and I are going, but in South Carolina, that or needs a ride up, let me know.
Yeah, we can probably do some carpooling. Anybody, I hate to say email me because I know what that'll end up being. But also, Chad got his big moment on Hagman last night. Did a great job talking about the event that they're having at his house, a training event. That's also on the same, you can find that as well. That's April 7, 8, 9, I think it is. Chad's going to do a warrior training, weapon training. It's going to be good stuff. So a lot of things. I'm kind of discombobulated because I want to get to where I'm going here today. And all right, Lord, hey, I want to do this real quickly. Go to the 190. I put a video up there. Pennsylvania Brett. Yeah, there is a Pennsylvania Brett. Send me a video from the church on Sunday when we posted it on our website. But I want you to go about the 1:19 mark, because I think what the Holy Spirit spoke through me here, this 1:19 mark is pretty, pretty important. 1:19. We'll get this posted. David's talk is here. My talk is here. And Spencer, if you can just fast forward that to 1:19 mark. I told you the wrong thing. I think this is significant for all of us. I'll speak to you about a covenant here. So just give me about 4 or 5 minutes because this is going to lead to what I want to discuss today. Go ahead and play that. That's Pastor Ben. God bless you, Pastor Ben.
Thanks, Pastor. God bless you. I ran into that guy last night several times. I'm going to get down here. Can I get down here a minute? Listen, he's the velvet hand. I'm the hammer, okay? So I don't apologize for who I am or what I'm about. I was a high school football coach, got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union in 1997 for praying with our football team, and it launched me into what it is that I do today. And what it is I try to do today is to try to get the church engaged on the field, into the game. We're at war. I don't know if you've really understood it or not. We're already at war. There's not a war coming. It's been a war raging like we can't even imagine. And for the most part, Christians have been MIA, missing in action, right? And so that's what I want to yell at you today about. As I said yesterday, some lady got on me one time. She got up and walked out in the middle of it. And after it was over, she kind of hung around out in the lobby. She came up to me afterwards and she said, boy, she was mad. She says, you remind me of my ex-husband. So if I remind you of your ex-husband, I don't know what I can do about it.
I don't know what to. So I have a specific message that I want to deliver today, and I just pray that you'll receive it in the spirit that it's given. And I want to preface it with this before we get into the word. Are you converted? I'm not talking about saved. Are you converted? Are you all in? You just partway in. This gospel thing, you just in toe deep? Some of you maybe up to your ankles, maybe up to your knees. Are you converted? Did you come to Christianity? Did you become a disciple of Christ for the benefits that you get? All the good things that go along with it? Or are you a soldier of the cross? Because I got to tell you something, those aren't the same thing. See, it's called the New Covenant. And where I come from, a covenant is a deal. You offer something, I offer something, we shake hands, we got a deal. My wife and I have been married 41 years. We came into covenant. She got the worst part of the deal. But no matter what, it is a covenant, is it not? And so when Jesus died on the cross and started this new covenant, what was the covenant? Do you know what the covenant was? The covenant was this. He lays down his life, and you get to lay down yours. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. And he says to each and every one of us, I'm laying my life down for you. And what does he call you to do? To die daily. He calls you to lay down your life for him. And see, we're teaching a Christianity in America today where Christ laid down his life for you, but you ain't got no skin in the game. Somebody say amen. I won't get mad. And we're in the mess that we're in today because we talk about this Savior and we talk about this Christ that we serve. We talk about it, but I'm an old football coach. Some of you guys, you're just in the peanut gallery. I'm going home in a while, so you just hold your anger. You're just sitting in the peanut gallery. This great cosmic war is breaking loose right in front of us. Most of you ain't got any skin in the game. The ticket
you can stop. You can stop right there. Amen, Michelle, sir. I think that's pretty profound. I watched it a couple times last night. I think it's really, really profound. The whole idea of a covenant. And we call it the new covenant, and we make it about rules and regulation and following this and following that. And Paul said this, and Timothy said this, and back there in Jude, they say this. And it's just very, very simple, folks. It's very simple. He laid down his life, and we lay down ours. It's a covenant. It's a trade. And very few of us really and truly have much skin in the game. And I want to encourage you, or discourage you, however you look at it, that it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. And this is going to be a two-parter, I think. I got some really, really deep stuff I want to share with you today. I asked David Arthur to join us. And one of the themes of what we do here at Coach Dave Live, I think, is we like to, how do I say it? We like to expose lies. I don't want to believe it if it's not true. Jesus is truth. I don't want to believe it if it's not true. And even though you say something to me that doesn't sound true, the more I ponder it, lay my head on my pillow at night, the more that truth gnaws away at, it's like termites, gnaws away at that false belief I have inside of me. The idea that I'm, excuse me, the idea that I'm fooling God, the idea that I'm getting away with it. Great, great deception. So I want to talk over the next couple of days, really. I just don't think I can do it in one day and do it justice. A lot of us out there, A lot of you are dealing with besetting sins. Besetting sins. Scripture talks about that. Talks about the sin that so easily besets us. Romans 12, I believe it is. The sin that so easily besets us. It's a besetting sin. 12, I think it's 12, Spence. Besetting sin is one we can't get away from. Beseech you therefore, brethren, mercy of God, present your body. It's Hebrews 12. It doesn't matter. If you find it, it's okay. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also encompass about so great a cloud of witnesses, they're all watching, boys. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Beset us. Let's run with patience the race that's set before us. Hey, Spencer, go to Webster real quick. Go to Mr. Webster. What's it mean to beset? Besetting sins. That's what we're dealing with, most of us. Besetting. Examples, that's Merriam-Webster. That's a lady. Merriam, she got involved with it, so let's get her out of there. Because she'll give us the Queen James Bible, right, David? Let's go to Mr. Webster. What's he say? Noah. Webster's 18. There you go, buddy. Beset. It says to surround, to enclose, to hem in, to press on all sides, so as to perplex, to entangle, to render escape difficult or impossible, to waylay, to fall upon. How many of you right now, raise your hand, and I'm not going to make you confess or deal with some besetting sin. You just can't. No matter what, man, you can't get away from it. You just can't get away from it. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's, who knows what it, maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's, but man, no matter how you try, you can't get away from it. It's a besetting sin. It does what? It traps us. It presses in on all sides. Raise your hand out there if you want to get rid of some besetting sins. Anybody out there want to get rid of a besetting sin? I got one I want to get rid of. I got one I want to get rid of. And you know this, that Jesus, let us lay a weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Imagine you're running a race. We are, right? We're running a race. Can you imagine running a race and carrying a backpack on you? Can you imagine running a race and carrying luggage? You know, what would that be like? And he says, Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, look, hey, dude, you got to lay that down. You got to lay that baggage down, man. Every weight and the sin, which so easy traps us in. And then when we can do that, then we can run with patience. The race is set before us because we all got a race set before us. And sadly, I wish it was a sprint, but it's not. It's a marathon because it takes patience to run it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he's at the finish line. Our eyes are on him who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He sits down at the right hand of the throne of God and consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him. Lest you be worried and faint in your mind. Because boys and girls, you have not yet resisted unto blood, and striving unto sin. So over the next couple of days, I've never done this ever. I want to talk a little bit about some of those besetting sins. And I want to, I want you at some point, you know what it is. I don't want you to confess it. You can if you want to. You don't have to. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. You might be healed. There's a real spiritual component to these besetting sins. Real spiritual. I was watching that video, me and the church, and I got a besetting sin of a belly. To be sitting, I don't want to eat and I eat. I don't want to sit and I sit. I want to exercise. I want to be trim. I'm not worried about my temple, the whole, but I got a besetting sin. Is it laziness? What is it? Why can't I get up in the morning and just go for a brisk 45-minute walk after the show? Why can't I do that? And why can't I stop eating the candy that Michelle puts in the candy jar right in the middle of the table so I'm tempted? And so I'll lose 10 pounds and then I'll put 10 pounds back on. Why? Because it's a besetting sin. And so I made the determination today in my own heart that I ain't going to do it. I'm going to give victory over this thing. See, it's not fair because I run into Steve Deck, and Steve Deck's 6'4". And he's got a long body to put all his fat on. You don't even notice it. I'm 5'7" on a good day. Mine's all packed together, right? And I can wish it away. And truth is, I got to stop eating and I got to start exercising. Anybody give me a thumbs up? It's a besetting sin. It's a hindrance to me. I don't want to be this way. I wish I could be taller, but I haven't figured out how to do that one yet. So it's besetting sins. And I'm not trying to convict anybody. I'm trying to help some of you walk out of that sin here in a minute. And it's one of the reasons I've asked David to come in. But I got three people want to testify already. So come on in, Ray, and then Jeff, and then Rochelle.
Yeah, Dave, regarding that, do you believe that would impede our spiritual warfare power through the Holy Spirit? Okay, we're trying to cast out demons. That's what Russ Distar is going to be about. And I got a feeling in my inner that if you get that kind of sin, I mean, like you say, it could be gluttony. Would that impede our effectiveness?
It would have to, wouldn't it, Ray? It would have to. It's like, look, folks, you got to be in spiritual shape, right? I can't go out and play a football game right now. I'll get knocked on my arse. Why can't I? Because my body's not ready for it. So if I think from a spiritual standpoint that I'm going to go get victory over a spiritual situation and I'm out of shape spiritually, I'm just fooling myself. I'm just really, really fooling myself. I could say I love you all. I don't even know some of you. I want to help you, okay? I want to help all of us get rid of these besetting sins. Come on in, Jeff.
Procrastination. But I would reflect what Ray said is, if we lose the power, no, we don't. In chapter 5 in the book of Romans talks about justification. You're declared holy, not made holy. Thank you.
Declared holy. That's why I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm working it out. I hear you, Lord. All right, Lord. Hey, take care of my heart till I get back in shape. I hear you, Lord. Come on in, Michelle.
Okay, my computer's down, so I'm using my phone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound as kind as ever.
Okay, great. Yes, I would think substance abuse or some kind of addiction would fall into this category of these sins. Is that right?
I think so. Yes, ma'am. It's a besetting sin.
I think that, fasting, I thought a long time ago, I thought fasting was just for dieting and to lose weight, but actually fasting is how we learn to say no to our sins by first learning to say no to food.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was one way I found some breakthroughs in substance abuse issues. I actually started off saying no to food. it lives with you. It's a temptation that's always there. It never goes away. You're constantly fighting it.
Amen. And Rochelle,
so it somehow intercepts our prayers. I'm sure it messes with our relationship with our Creator.
It has to, doesn't it? It has to. And so I was today, I'm trying to look for it right now. I'm going to try to put, well, I'm on the wrong computer. Put it on the chat, in the chat. That's part of what we used to fast. It used to be part of what we did. We haven't done it in a while. And so I'm just declaring that I began a fast last night. I'm going to at least a 3-day. I have a great video on how the body totally, completely resets. Makes you healthy if you fast. And I'll try to find that video here. Stick it in the chat. And I've just encouraged some. Hey, listen, folks, listen. You don't fast to change your body, although it does. You fast to change your soul. You fast to change what's inside you. as Rochelle so adequately said, when you fast and you say no to food, it gives you the power then to say no to cigarettes. It gives you the power then to say no to pornography. It gives you the power to say no to worry or fear, whatever. If it's a spirit, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I think about athletes, all the great football players I've been around all my life. My goodness, how they disciplined themselves with what they ate, what they drank. In fact, they'd get those protein drinks and drink those and get in shape and work out. And folks, we're in a war, and we're in horrible shape. Somebody say amen. We're in horrible shape, right? So we got to get ourselves.
Amen.
We got to get our temples back in shape. We get our temples back in shape. Our soul's gonna fall in line with it. I believe that for sure. Neil, come on in. I'll get David in here in a second.
Yeah, Coach. My greatest sin is judgment. When I go down to Chicago and I look at all these people standing around me, I see their burqas, and you would assume they're followers of Islam. I already judge them because I'm saying that they're not worthy of the gospel, which is so wrong because, as Paul tells us in the book of Acts, Peter told us that Jesus Christ died for everyone, not just for people who look like me. That person with the tattoos and the gothic look, they need to hear the gospel just as much as anybody does. That's where my greatest sin is. I look at someone and I already got them judged.
Amen. Amen. Now listen, folks. Judgment's okay. It says judge righteously, right? Make sure you're judging. I always tell the story, two beautiful daughters. Some dude came up to my house and he wanted to date my daughter. I did some judging, right? It was wise. It was righteous judgments. If he had six earrings in and something coming out of his nose, all right, so we understand that? Understand we're witnesses. We're witnesses. We're not judges. We're witnesses. We're witnesses about what's going to happen. By the way, I just put in the chat that video about fasting. If you want to capture that, it's really, really, really good. Okay? So I got a hold of David Arthur's actually this morning because the Holy Spirit was working on me this morning. Sorry, I sometimes forget how to use my computer. I'm sorry if I'm looking up all the time. So something David said in his show yesterday, I was doing some work up at Sky High and I was listening to his show, and it really, really, really impacted me. And that's how we have. Here's what I want David to talk to us about so we understand, so that we all understand. The Cardi B thing that we spoke about yesterday, folks, that's a wicked, wicked, wicked temptation to destroy the morals of America. It's wicked, wicked. And I thought maybe from a sexual perspective, I asked David if he would come in here this morning and share a little bit with us about how not only us, but specifically our children are being lured into not only the sin of homosexuality, the acceptance of it, and why we have lost the power or the ability to believe that Christ can change. See, Christ can change a homosexual. It's just a besetting sin. It is iniquity, and I'm going to get into that. That's why I'm trying to make this a two-dayer. So I want to turn this over just a few minutes over to David Arthur and let him share with us. As a guy who came out, whatever that means, a guy who was trapped in that besetting sin of homosexuality. He was besetting, couldn't get away from it, delivered from it by Jesus. David, how did he get its chains on you in the first place? And how can we make sure that it doesn't get our hands on our children? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Come on in, Dave.
Well, because I was recruited, that's how I was recruited, what we know to be molested, right? And so I was recruited in. So there's a lot of different aspects that work towards this. This outcome for a lot of children, and it's different for everybody. However, hey David, it's also David, the same.
You know me, I like to interrupt. So right. you could be molested by an uncle when you were 12 years old, yes. And you don't become a homosexual, but no, you become promiscuous.
Right, you become perverted.
Yeah, and perverted or not able to hold relationships and all that stuff. Go ahead, man.
When that happens to a child or to anybody, right? When anybody is molested, and that word is important, molested. But when anybody is molested, it's what I call STDs, right? It's sexually transmitted demons. There's transference there. So whatever darkness controls them gets transferred to the victim. So now we become perverted and we start seeking some type of pleasure. So no matter what that stronghold could be, homosexuality, it could be drugs, right? It could be smoking cigarettes and smoking marijuana and shooting heroin. It could be
it could be anger.
Anything.
It could be exactly. Anger.
It could be any stronghold at all, any vice, anything. But how do we break it? How do we get over it, right? We surrender. You see, what I didn't realize is the habitual sins, right? The besetting sins that stem from that darkness that I came out of. And it was God himself that spoke to me and said, I'm going to deliver you. And I didn't know what he meant. I actually thought he was going to send me somewhere like Philip and the eunuch. And he sent Philip somewhere. And I was waiting to go somewhere. And he was waiting to deliver me from those spirits one by one by one. And he's the one that showed me what masculinity is. He's the one that showed me how to be a man. He's the one that showed me how to represent him in word, deed, action. And so the reason it's so important that the word molest is so important is because, you know what, Coach, all my, say half of my walk, my first 4, 5, 6 years, I'm looking for some scripture to show pedophiles that what they're doing is wrong. They know what they're doing is wrong, right? But I'm looking for scripture to show them. And I can't find where it's mentioning that specifically in the scripture. And I'm wondering why.
Folks, this is important because this is from David's show yesterday. You can search the scriptures and you can't really find anything specifically speaking against pedophilia. You can't. We know it's wrong, but you can't find it. Go ahead, Dave.
And so as I'm seeking, I remember the day that I jumped on your show probably like 2 years ago, and I was on the road, and you were talking about 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, and we were like, yeah, you know what? The sin of effeminate, being effeminate, is different than the sin of homosexuality. And so we were looking at that, but I'm thinking, men know that it's wrong to be effeminate, right? Men know what the biblical definition of masculinity is and femininity. And so then I tried to think, well, maybe they're using the word effeminate and homosexual, or in some versions, abusers of themselves with mankind, which is a word for homosexual. Maybe they're using that to mean the passive and the aggressive, right? Like the feminine and the masculine. Well, it's not that at all. And so I sent Jared some links and some attachments. And I first want to explain, because folks,
David, can I stop you a second?
Yeah.
Here's what David's referring to, folks. It's on the screen. It's 9. Is this Romans, David? What'd you put? Is this Romans 9?
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Hey, folks, remember what we're talking about, the kingdom of God. It's not heaven, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. What does that mean, effeminate? What's that? Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Well, it really doesn't belong there. It really doesn't belong there. And so hopefully Jared got the attachments and he can put up the Aramaic Peshitta English translation for me.
Did you get it there, Spence? Did you get those from David?
But first, let me, while he's looking for that, let me just explain. The Peshitta, right, is the ancient Aramaic scriptures, which was a precursor to the Greek texts that we know of as the New Covenant scriptures. The Hebrew Aramaic speaking churches received the Peshitta, New Testament, between 50 and 70 CE. And the 22 books of the New Testament were originally written in Aramaic. Okay, so we like to talk about the Greek and the Hebrew, what they were originally written in Aramaic. And this is important. This is really important. one of the best speakers that I've ever seen, Aron Yunin, he said the generosity of the Peshitta text is only seen when one approaches it without agenda. Why? Because it illumines the eyes to the truth. And so if we look at this, I'm gonna
hang on, David. I'm trying to get it to him as well. Keep on talking. I'll get it.
Okay.
I'll get it to him.
So when we look at this, what we're gonna look at is just the English translation of 1 Corinthians 6. And listen, it is so powerful because we can look back and say, why did the Roman Catholic Church remove the word that was there originally and replace it with a word that meant effeminate?
Spencer, if you pull out, I just sent it to you as well, Spence. It's the last attachment. It says 1 Corinthians 1 on it there, brother. I've got. Go ahead, if you can find that. Bear with Spencer as he's trying to pull a thing in there. I just resent it to you, Spence. Go ahead, Dave. They substituted a word on us.
They actually, they pulled a big one on us because
There you go.
Okay, so the Roman Catholic Church. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that evil men do not inherit the kingdom of God? Evil men do not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. No fornicators, neither worshipers of idols, not adulterers, neither sexual molesters.
Wow.
Neither males lying down with males. Now, let me say this. The word for males lying down with males, it means both passive and aggressive, feminine and masculine. It's just men laying with men. So there is no characteristic there. But look at the word that they removed. The word that they removed means not sexual molesters. They removed a word that meant sexual molesters and put in a word that meant effeminate. Now, can we say agenda? Can we say there's an agenda here? Why would and it's not just the Roman Catholics. It's actually three different liturgical sects from way back then. Okay, and this is how it was explained to me. That have done this, and they were okay with this new translation. Why? Because they were engaging in this perversion.
So, David, if I understand this right, this was pre-King James version, right?
Yes. Yes, this is original text. This is from the original Aramaic, and it's just an English translation of the original Aramaic. The entire New Testament was written in Aramaic originally.
Right.
Wow. So what do we do with this?
David, you're saying that maybe we don't know, folks. 2,000 years ago, whatever. Maybe the practice of pedophilia was in some ways accepted. Is that what you're saying, David? And because it was common and accepted, they changed the meaning. They just put effeminate in there.
Imagine that, Coach.
To kind of cloud the behavior they were participating in.
Exactly. Because, you know, what about all of the boys that were being molested? What about the girls who were being molested? What about the people who were being molested? What if they were to read in the scriptures that the sexual molesters won't make it into heaven? What if they were to read that? I'm telling Coach, I'm going to be a little transparent here, and most people know that you know, I say anything I don't care out of my mouth, but I was a pedophile. I was a victim of pedophilia, and then I was a victimizer as a pedophile. And I was not only recruited, but I recruited. And so when about 3 years, 4 years into my walk, I made a video about my own crimes against children. And that very afternoon, a man reached out to me and he says, you know what? He says, until this day, he's 50-something years old. He said, until this day, I never knew that there was freedom for someone like me in Jesus the Christ. I never knew it. Until this day, until you said the words that you said and you spoke, and that was before I even knew that the word was in the scriptures. And so here we are, this man finding out that there is freedom for him regardless of his sin.
And, right? And David, molesters molest.
Absolutely. Molesters broken people molest. Break people. Hurt people hurt people. That's just the way it is. But the encouraging side is healed people want to heal people. Amen. Okay. And so I always got to be the velvet hand now.
Okay, let me cut the velvet hand off here because I got a bunch. I got several want to get in here real quick. Let's get Rochelle in here, Roger, and then Larry real quickly. Hey, folks, it's okay. This is a two-dayer. It has to be. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I have a Bible app thing called eSword. And when you pull that verse up and look at the words, effeminate is there, you're right, but then the next line it says abusers of themselves and mankind. That is G733, which is a word I can't say, but it means a sodomite, an abuser that defiles.
So amen. And so yeah, real so, quick, just let me just real quick just tell you, a sodomite, biblical definition of a sodomite is a crime against nature, right? So it would be a crime against nature to molest, to have anal sex, to engage in oral sex, to engage in bestiality, and some people believe self-love, masturbation.
Amen. Yes,
but you are right. They did take the word out of there. But hey, eSword is great. It goes back to all the Hebrew. It's a good tool for anybody listening.
Thanks, Rochelle. Roger, come on in.
Well, it makes sense now. They've been, until recently, hiding their pedophilia within the entire church and other church institutions. And they've been doing it, having rewritten God's word to make it be okay that they can still get into heaven.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness, huh? At least even in their conscience, they knew it was wrong, right? Even in their conscience, they knew it was wrong. But, wow. Come on in, Larry, then Reggie.
Yeah, I just have a question for David. David, you know, is this revelation of this translation from this Aramaic word and everything, is that as a result of the continuing work with the Dead Sea Scrolls, or is there another source?
David, you went silent. You got muted, Dave.
Sorry, I just put the link in, Larry and Bob. And on that site for the Hebrew Aramaic, they have like all of the links, all of the resources, the history, everything. Because so I can't answer a whole lot of questions.
Okay. So let's not get
bogged. This isn't my forte, yeah. Right? This isn't
Let's not get bogged down on that. Come on. A good question though, Larry. But so it's in the chat. Come on.
But this come from somebody who deeply, deeply studies the Aramaic and the original text.
All right. Come on in, Reg. Then Vinny.
I just wanted to clarify, you know, he mentioned Catholic. I have the Greek Orthodox Study Bible that I use because it's translated from the Hebrew original Greek and Aramaic. And mine does say, where am I? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
so
good.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Good, Reggie.
Wow, that's a good translation right there. Because it separates homosexual from sodomites, right? Crimes against nature, molesters.
Yes. Good. Vinny, then Jeff Nell, then Craig.
So you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times months ago. What happened? Let me give you the scenario. This is Paul speaking to Philo 2,000 years ago. So all this nonsense about effeminate and all this stuff, none of that existed. You understand? That's the whole point. None of that existed.
It was simply what this situation is, and David's right. It was a purpose.
Let's never forget this.
Amen.
The penalty for sodomy was death. It was that bad. It was a death penalty, folks. Death penalty. Jeff Nell, Craig, and then Dale.
Yeah, when I was in the military, I went to the Mediterranean and I went to the city of Pompeii, and they showed me the brothel, and they had rooms all through the city for pedophilia, same-sex, hetero, bestiality, all alike. Mm. We're repeating history, sir.
Amen. Amen. Craig, come on in. And Dale.
Yeah, and this was a discussion that David and I had, because he said something many the first time he came and preached at a church a couple of years ago. Make sure you call it the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic is universal. Let's make it Roman, because it was a paganism of marrying the Roman government at the time. But the thing was, is there was never in the New Testament, and you hear this back and forth, there was never a requirement that you couldn't get married and have children. That was put in by men. Those were bishops that put this law, and it was a strategy of Satan. He knew that. He made that happen because he was setting the church up to fail so it would look bad.
Wow.
Because it would be the image of God.
Wow.
You could have, you know, you don't have to be abstinent and be okay with God. You can have a family and be a man of God, a pastor, a bishop, and David maybe can talk about it more.
Yeah, no, what a great, I've always said that. Listen, we don't get into bashing anybody's faith here, right? But it never made sense to me that they would expect a well nourished young heterosexual man to give up sex. That never ever, that's just, hey, come on, man, that's just setting you up for failure, isn't it?
Hey, listen, let me tell you one thing about that, okay? When I was 14, when I was 15, when I got locked up as a juvenile detention, the judge sent me to a home, St. Gabriel's Hall in Pennsylvania. He sent me to a home where three of the, they were called the Christian Brothers, but they were priests. Three of them were, and I wasn't their only victim because I was already sexualized, but three of them were regularly engaging in activity with boys in the school.
Come on in, Dale.
Amen, brother. You know, sometimes getting back to what is the focus, what is the truth? I mean, we're pointing out these things, but as Jesus said unto them, he says, in the beginning, God created them male and female. And so this kind of identifies, this is who it was to be between. And when you go to Hebrews chapter 13, real quick here, in the verse 4, it says, then the marriage bed is to be held in honor among all, which means none are excluded, and that the marriage bed is to be, watch this, undefiled. And but for the fornicators and the adulterers, God will judge. So when we understand this is the answer, it doesn't say that. No. What it does say is that God created the male and female, and he created the marriage there. And he says of the marriage bed, that marriage bed is to be undefiled, untampered with. Nothing else is to come into that room except for the husband and the wife.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, folks, I didn't mean to turn this into homosexuality this morning. I'm trying to take us somewhere. Maybe it may take us 2 days to get there. Because while some of you are sitting there cringing over the thoughts of homosexuality and sodomy and oral sex, cringing over all that stuff, let me promise you, there's stuff in all of our closets that we certainly don't want anybody cleaning out for us, but we're going to have to clean out those closets if we're going to become effective in what it is the Lord would have us to do. Come on in, Rochelle.
I just wanted to really thank David. This is some big stuff. I'm sure he's had to do a lot of work to get to this point in his life where he can actually speak out. And his words, I'm sure, are healing other people. David, could you tell us what was the hardest thing? What was the hardest way back? What was one of the hardest struggles you had?
I think one of the hardest struggles I had was with the effeminacy, with the thoughts that I thought I had a same-sex attraction, because at the moment, at that time, for 9 years, I prayed almost daily, God, can you please remove this attraction from me, right? Attraction, I kept using that word. And then I would pretend that I heard him say, my grace is sufficient for thee, David. And I walk away holding my sign saying, thank you for my thorn. And and then one night I said, I went up into my room. This is when I lived in Ohio. And I went up in my room and I had been through a lot of struggles at the time with a spiritual attack and everything like that and deliverance. I went up in my room and I got on my face and I said, God, I said, I'm not asking you anymore. I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm telling him. You're going to remove this attraction or I'm going back. And I said, and the words I spoke to him, I said, don't worry. I'm not going back and tell him that the scripture is wrong. I said, I'm going back to tell him that I'm going to hell with them. And he says, and it was almost audible to me. And I felt him speak to me. And he says, you want me to remove something that I placed in you because you've misidentified it, which made me dive into studying intimacy even deeper. And so we all have this desire for same-sex intimacy, but we are told by culture and society that if we have a draw towards something, that means that we're attracted to it. And if it's an attraction, that means it has to be sexual and or romantic. There's no such thing as a same-sex attraction, which is why I don't support conversion therapy, because that main goal of conversion therapy is to attack same-sex attraction. And there's no such thing as same-sex attraction. It's a misidentified characteristic that's part of our design. Okay.
Let me jump in here, because there's two points that I want to make. I bet you right now there's 100 of us in the queue, thousands that are listening. If we were to be honest, don't do it, but some of you would raise your hand right now from a molestation that took place in your life as a kid, cousin on cousin, brother on sister. So, right. I mean, come on, man, let's be honest here. Let's be real. And it impacts us in ways that we don't really understand. And because we don't really understand the impact, that first introduction to sex, whatever, how that is hardwired onto us. And maybe even as we get older and in a marriage, we still struggle with that issue, that spiritual issue. And we don't even know. We don't even understand it's a spiritual issue. We don't even understand that came from Uncle Joe. We don't even get it, right? Myra wants to jump in here real quick, waving her hand off real quickly. Go ahead, Myra. Then I got a second point to make. Go ahead, Myra.
Thank you, Coach. I was just saying goodbye, and I'll see you tomorrow.
God bless you, Myra.
God bless you.
God bless
you, Myra. And by the way, in regard to the to the link, where do you pay for the $30 for the April event? For the
I'll get back to you. All right. God bless you, Myra.
We admire you, Myra.
Issue number two, then. Man, we're about out of time. Right? That's why it's going to be a two-dayer. Issue number two. David speaks about intimacy. Intimacy has been taught in our society that it's sexual. And it's not sexual. The most intimate place I've ever been in my entire life is in a winning locker room. It's the most intimate place I've ever been, where men run around crying, hugging other men. Now, we know that this type of behavior is never accepted outside of the locker room, right? You don't just go around hugging and crying on you. Sometimes you do, but you don't, right? And every guy watching this right now would say that the most intimate they ever were in their life was when they were in a boot camp, in the middle of a war, in the middle of a football game, in a locker room after you win or after you lose. That intimacy, the idea that we were all in this thing together and we all put everything in together, win or lose, dudes, we were in this together. I love you, man. I love you. I can't even tell you that intimate feeling that a man gets in a locker. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
And
you know what I'm talking about.
Coach, David, let me jump in, because the reason that they are able to express that intimacy is because they are secure in their masculinity, not the machoism, but their masculinity as men. They're secure in that, so they have no problem being thigh to thigh, sitting next to another young man, butt naked on a bench, with their arm around each other, and crying or hugging and celebrating because they are secure in their masculinity.
Okay, but David, let me take. Go ahead, Roger. Then I'll take.
I'm about
David,
but how they go and jump in a tent.
Isn't that why the issue we must understand there is recruitment, because they go in, the homosexual community goes in and it abuses the young boy, or they recruit him, and at some point they turn the intimacy through an action, and then they make the intimacy about sex. They abuse the boy. So the recruitment is key, because I've sat through your seminars and I've shared my background on this. At some point, they twist that intimacy.
Yes, sir. And make you think you're a homosexual, right? So listen, some of you have already experienced this, right? When we go as a team, when the Salt and Light Brigade goes to battle, the feeling that you have when that battle is over, and we go back and we sit around, we eat a hamburger together and some French fries and drink a pop and talk about this happened and this happened. That is the intimacy. Boys and girls, let me tell you something. You ain't going to find that in church. We're not going to find that. Come on. Why? Because you ain't got no skin in the game. You're all in there, Amen. No skin in the game, baby. And so in that locker room or in that boot camp, you know what the other guy went through to get where you are. See, that's the intimacy. That's, Amen. Boy, oh, boy.
I can't tell you how many times Steve Deck and I sitting there talking both nights at dinner. We're in mid-conversation, just look at each other and then just, oh, man, I love you, and just hug each other. Because
Amen. That's right.
It's so natural when you're with your brethren. It's so natural. It really is. When you're in the spirit, it's natural.
Okay, let me show you this real quick. David, hey, Spence, just kick up some of these signs that David has that he shows us here, folks. Look at this. Look at these signs.
See, this is bold in your face, right? This is a man that's guilty of the sin of homosexuality saying, that's right, I'm a homosexual, and I teach your children and your grandchildren. How about that?
Go to the next one.
And then... how about we are only going to get browner, queerer, witchier, louder, stronger, prouder, and we're going to watch who? The dinosaurs die out. Who are the dinosaurs?
That'd be us.
All of us.
That'd be us. Go to the next one.
And so this is part of the homosexual crusade. One of their tactics is to capture the children. Infiltrate media, infiltrate education, change the curriculum, which they've done, change children's books, done, change arts, done, change entertainment, done, change restrooms, done. Why? To celebrate same-sex desire, not attraction. Yep. They know it's a desire, and gender preference as equal to traditional family virtues and sexual identity. Let's teach them that having two daddies is the same as having a mommy and a daddy. Oh, what's the next one? The next one is really in your face. This picture was taken at a pride event. What's that say? We recruit. Is that in your the devil himself is playing leapfrog over our backs, and we're sitting back talking about with our headphones on, TVs on, talking about, I wonder why the shepherd hasn't been calling me lately. Well, he has. You're just too preoccupied to hear his voice.
Boom.
He's in our face, Amen. And we had better start doing something about it.
Next one. Oh boy.
Hey, there you go. Boy Scouts of America. Wrapped in the rainbow. Wrapped in the rainbow. Oh, don't they all look so cute? I wonder who put that little troop together and how many times they take them camping and who gets to sleep in the tent with the camp with their scout leader.
Come on in, Randy.
Coach, we should be so angry that we have allowed Satan to deceive and pervert intimacy. David is so on this. Coach, the intimacy, whenever anybody lets the sexual perversion come in, it robs you of intimacy. And that is what people need and search for. And I mean, that's what we're saying. But we have to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. We can't be the sugar, like you say, when evil's standing there in their presence. We have to just stand up to it and say, no, it's wrong. And we have just stood back and allowed this. It's our own fault.
It's our own fault, brother. So let's get that camaraderie as we begin to get in war together and engage together in this intimacy in the fight for truth, folks. The fight Amen. For truth. Now, listen, I'm running out of time here today, okay? Today's program was not about homosexuality. If that's what you got out of this, I'm sorry. That's not what it's about. It's about our own deep wounding, right? And the impact of our own deep wounding, which leads to besetting sins, which is a spiritual component of the brokenness that we have, and that we're going to have to all begin to deal with some of these stupid besetting sins that we will not let go. If we're going to be a residue, see, you have a residue in your life from the sins that others have committed against you, and dare I say it, sins that you have committed against others. Residue. Amen. David, thanks for joining us, folks.
Thanks for having me, Coach.
Don't miss tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.